You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to your Valentine's Views podcast for Wednesday, May 4th. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, and today on the show, we have a very special interview for you with Duke Manyweather offensive line expert from OL Masterminds. Duke works with many of the NFL draft prospects, NFL players. We've had the pleasure of talking to Duke a number of times in the past. A year ago, we talked to Duke about former Giants guard Will Hernandez and some of the work that he had done with Will. Today, we're going to be talking with Duke regarding first-round draft pick Evan Neal, penciled in to be the Giants' right tackle, as well as the overall reconstruction of the Giants' offensive line. We'll get to that interview here shortly. First, though, I want to talk a little bit about the Giants' post-draft. One of the things that I like to do here occasionally on the Valentine's Views podcast is go to our Big Blue View mailbag and pull out a question that I might also be looking to answer in our weekly mailbag that we do at Big Blue View on Saturday. I thought I would do that today. Bob Donnelly, who's a regular contributor to our mailbag, sent a pretty good question this week that sort of wraps up a lot of what the Giants did in the offseason, both in free agency and in the draft. So I thought we would talk a little bit about that here on the podcast today. Bob asks, a top priority for Joe Shane is evaluating Daniel Jones to determine if he is the franchise quarterback. Do you think the GM has done a sufficient job providing Jones the supporting cast for a fair evaluation? And the reality of it is that is pretty much the key question, the center of everything for the Giants heading into 2022, is can they get with new head coach Brian Daboll, with new offensive coordinator Mike Kafka, with new GM Joe Shane, can they get a good read on Daniel Jones? Can they surround him with enough talent, with good enough offensive line play to get a quality evaluation of Jones to decide whether or not he should be their guy after the 2022 season? We know, of course, that the Giants did not pick up Jones' fifth-year option. I've said before, I think that was absolutely the right decision to make. Didn't make sense to me to commit $21 or $22 million to Jones for the 2023 season, when they didn't yet know if he was a guy that they wanted to go forward with beyond this year. So I think that was the right move in terms of that, because obviously the Giants could be back in the quarterback market in the 2023 NFL draft, where as many as six quarterbacks could go in the first round, at least when you look at really, really early projections going into the 2023 draft. But back to Bob's question of whether or not Joe Shane has done enough to put pieces around Jones to fairly evaluate him. I think the when you look at that, it's difficult to say, yes or no, because we've seen one voluntary mini camp practice. We haven't seen the rookies on the field. We haven't seen what this offense looks like. We haven't really seen anything yet. What I can say is that I think that Shane did everything he possibly could have to put those pieces around Jones, working with very, very limited salary cap resources. Shane added a number of offensive linemen who are not great, but at least average, competent NFL offensive linemen with a good amount of starting experience. Mark Glowinski, John Feliciano, Max Garcia, Jameel Douglas as a depth piece. Matt Gano is a swing tackle from the Atlanta Falcons, who's played some, who's started a decent number of games as well, could wind up as the Giants' swing tackle. Did as much as he could there, added a couple of wide receivers that he was familiar with from Buffalo, added an intriguing wide receiver from the, I believe, from the San Francisco 49ers in Richie James, added a backup running back in Matt Breida, went out and got a quality backup quarterback and a guy who could help Daniel Jones in the quarterback room in Tyrod Taylor. So he did as much as he could. The Giants are also, looks like they're going to try to work with Kadarius Toney, the 2021 first round pick, see what develops there. They love Toney's skill set. I think the Giants like the idea of being able to get quick, easy completions, being able to get yardage after the catch, make it easy on their quarterback to get completions, to get yardage, to not have to stand back there and look around the field and make a lot of reads and depend on a lot of tremendous pass protection, although they hope to get that tremendous pass protection. But they're trying to build playmakers to make things as easy on the quarterback as they possibly can, and I like that. But Shane did as much as he could in free agency, I thought, you know, given the budgetary constraints that the Giants have to supplement the offense, to fill holes, to give Jones pieces to work with. He also signed a couple of tight ends, Jordan Akins, Ricky Seals-Jones, guys who have not been great NFL players, but have experience, have had some success in the league, and should be able to contribute. I mean, in the draft, you added Alabama offensive tackle Evan Neal with the 7th overall pick. Neal should plug in and be the Giants' right tackle, giving the Giants a pair of young bookend tackles in Neal on the right side and Andrew Thomas on the left side, who should be really, really good, really solid players for the Giants to construct an offensive line around, you know, for several years to come at this point. So Giants fans have to feel really, really good about that. The selection of Wandale Robinson in the 2nd round, you know, raised some eyebrows because consensus big boards and guys like Mel Kiper and guys like Dane Brugler and all of that will tell you that they think that the Giants drafted Wandale Robinson early, and maybe they did. But what it tells you is that the Giants have a specific plan in mind on their offense, as I talked about a little bit earlier. They want, you know, catch and run. They want to be able to make quick completions. They want to be able to scheme some things for guys, put the ball in their hands quickly, and let guys make plays. We'll see how all of that works out. Giants drafted 2 offensive guards from North Carolina in the middle rounds to supplement the offensive line. They drafted tight end Daniel Bellinger, which was a need pick for them to supplement in that position as well. We have to see how it all shakes out. We don't know how some of these young guys are going to perform, But I think in answering Bob's question, for me, I think Joe Shane did as much as he could have to supplement the offense and to give Daniel Jones pieces. I mean, you can argue that maybe he could have drafted a wide receiver in the first round, but you also have to remember that there are other positions that needed to be supplemented. There was a defense that needed to be upgraded. And getting Kayvon Thibodeau, getting a pass rusher who can impact games, you know, from the front seven, doing something like that also helps Daniel Jones because it might improve field position. It might create turnovers. Again, you know, the better the defense plays, the easier it is for the offense as well. So that is also a factor. But my viewpoint on that question really is that I think Joe Shane did as much as he possibly could have, given the resources he was working with, to upgrade the talent around Daniel Jones. All right, Giants fans, let's take a short break for a word from our sponsors here at SB Nation. When we come back, I'll be talking to Duke Manyweather of OL Masterminds about Evan Neal and the rest of the Giants offensive line.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, Giants fans, I'm joined by offensive line expert Duke Manyweather of the Offensive Line Performance Center. Duke, thank you very, very much for a couple minutes, and wanted to speak with you today about Evan Neal.
Thanks for having me, Ed.
So I know that I'm correct that you worked with Evan during the build-up to the draft, right?
Yes, I've been working with Evan since he was in high school back at IMG. Just a lovely family. I think there's been some clips floating around of his parents and just their words of encouragement and inspiration and affirmation. And that's kind of what that family is about, and that's why you see the grade-A human being that Evan Neal is right now. So I've got a great relationship with Evan and his parents and have had it for a while that really built up into – what you see now in terms of the work that we did preparing for this offseason and this draft process.
So just let's talk about Evan the person. What are the Giants getting in Evan Neal the person?
They're getting definitely a franchise level tackle that's going to be no nonsense. He's going to be first in the building. He's very structured. goes about his business with a lunch pail. He's going to have a routine that he gets in. He's going to ask the right questions. He's going to be intense in everything that he does. He's going to command respect from his teammates as soon as he steps in that building. And, you know, the staff and the rest of the team will follow behind it. But just really an intense individual in terms of everything he does in terms with intent. And I think that, you know, some of the older guys are going to love that about him around how he gets to work. He's not going to back down from a challenge, and he's definitely not going to back down from adversity.
I know that, you know, leading up to the draft, everybody looked at kind of like a couple years ago with the four offensive tackles. Everybody looked at Evan and Ikem Ekwonu and Charles Cross, and everybody had their opinions as to who was the best of that group. And I don't want to pin you down to you know, your order of those three guys, but when I looked at it, and when I look back at it, Evan Neal was really the perfect fit for the Giants because he's plug and play on the right side, you know, which is where I think the Giants are going to play him at right tackle. Did you look at it that way, and do you look at it that way, that he was the sort of perfect plug and play choice?
Yeah, I thought Evan was the best tackle in the draft. With those top four guys, though, there was something special and unique about all of them that you could like. I've said this over and over again. Evan was probably the most bad in terms of pass protection and run blocking efficiency. You knew exactly what you were going to get with him. He also had the most position flex. He started at right tackle with dominant tape. He started at left guard with dominant tape. He started at left tackle tape. So when you look at that, that gives him the leg up to me on anybody else in the class. When you look at Ikem Ekwonu, he was an elite run blocker. Still has got a lot of work to do in pass protection, but you're confident with a guy as smart and as athletic as Ikem is that he's going to be able to pick up some of these things to make that transition into Sunday. When you look at Charles Cross was very efficient in his pass protection, probably elite pass protector and elite in his recovery, which are all things that you want out of your franchise left tackle. When you look at Trevor Penning, his mentality, aggressiveness is something that cannot be taught in terms of finishing. And so when you look at those top four guys, all of them really have something special about them. But in terms of what the Giants are getting, the Giants are getting what they already know. They're getting a known product that's got position flexibility. I think he started 40 or 41 games, only missed one game due to COVID. Just really durable and consistent.
And I'm curious, you know, what kind of things have you been working on, you know, with Evan? Is there anything specific that you guys have been targeting with him?
Yeah, absolutely. So there was a notion that he was on the ground a lot because of balance. But when I went back and looked at it, it really wasn't a balance issue. He's got really good feet and really good overall balance in terms of you know, free movement. It was kind of the same that we went back and looked at Rashawn Slater, why he was falling off blocks. Rashawn would fall off blocks at Northwestern on the second level, and people thought it was a balance issue. And then Evan would drive guys 5 or 6 yards downfield and then fall off blocks and get thrown, so to speak. It wasn't a balance issue. What it was is really a leverage issue. And this is not to a knock on any coach or any player, because this is how it's taught. But you don't want to get as much extension with the arms and the hips as most people may think. And so really what we worked on is focusing on the hand placement and creating leverage with the hands and then staying into more of a fit position with the feet and the hips underneath and the engagement of the core.
And I'm curious, just, I mean, do you think that, you know, from college to the NFL, we know that Andrew Thomas had sort of a rough adjustment. You know, it took him a while. Would you anticipate, you know, that type of thing for Evan, or would you anticipate a sort of a smoother transition, you know, for him?
I think a smoother transition. you know, it wasn't fair for Andrew Thomas to come into the Giants situation that he was in terms of the conflict between offensive line coaches and head coach and offensive coordinators. It was really, just a perfect storm that a rookie franchise tackle did not need to be involved in. But he did. He ended up found out ways not to do things and found out new ways to win on Sunday. So as I've said over and over again, when people like were really harsh on Andrew Thomas, Andrew Thomas's best football is still ahead of him. I truly believe that. I've said that since day one. And I think you saw that towards the end of his rookie year and then his second year. I think Evan's transition is going to be smoother. I think with Bobby Johnson and then also with Anthony Sperano Jr., those are two really solid offensive line coaches that are going to be able to take and tailor make, Evan's skill set to him. I'm going to be in Evan's corner as well, helping him out. So I think the transition is going to be smoother. I think you're going to see a cleaner product in terms of rookie that you did with Andrew Thomas. Not to knock on Andrew Thomas, just based on the situation.
And you look at the way Andrew has developed, since the beginning of his rookie year, and now you have Evan Neal. And from your perspective, you think that the Giants, finally, have a pair of bookend tackles that they can go forward with for a few years?
Hell yeah. I think you got this tackle tandem for the next, 5 to 10 years if you want it. I think both these guys are going to project and end up breaking the bank at some point. So you're probably going to have to make a business decision. But it's crazy, man. Andrew Thomas going into his third year, Evan Neal going in to his rookie year. You've got a young tackle tandem that is pretty darn good. And I think in a couple of years we're going to be talking about is the best tackle tandem in football. So the Giants have to feel good about that. I think they continue to build out that interior offensive line, which I think they kind of addressed some of those with the doozy from North Carolina. I think that he's probably going to end up sliding into a guard spot. Really like some of his tape at tackle at North Carolina, but I project him being able to particularly either be a swing tackle or go into one of the guard spots to kind of earn a role. So I think the Giants are in a good position, man. I'm excited about what they did this draft. I actually think both New York teams drafted really well.
It's interesting. I did want to ask you about Azudi, whose name I actually have to figure out how to pronounce correctly one of these days. But I think you look at the Giants, and the only spot that's a question for me in terms of who will start is that left guard spot. I mean, you think he's a kid? You think, third round pick, 67th overall, can he compete to start in that spot in year one?
I think you'd like to believe that that's why they drafted him there, to bring in and potentially grab that left guard spot. I think that he's capable of doing it, played with some really good power on tape at North Carolina, really physical run blocker, and then, can do some things in pass protection as well. So he's got the size and the frame to be able to kick down inside, even though he played tackle at North Carolina. But, I'm interested to see what that competition looks like.
Hey, I'm also curious – new coaching staff for the Giants. We're not familiar with Bobby Johnson and Tony Sperano. What can you tell us about those guys? What do you know about them?
Yeah, they're gonna be hard nosed coaches, but not the fake tough stuff. Not the things that like don't really matter. They're gonna be hard nosed in terms of making sure that the fundamentals and the small nuances of the game are executed down in and down out. They're gonna take a liking to development. They're gonna be patient with development, and I think that's what you need with such a young pair of tackles, and then eventually a young interior.
All right, and are you familiar with the guys that the Giants, the interior guys that the Giants added as free agents? John Feliciano, Max Garcia, Mark Glowinski, some of those guys. I'm curious just for some of your thoughts on what they did in free agency.
Yeah, all the guys that you just named have played a lot of football in the NFL. Max Garcia has started games. Glowinski has started games. Feliciano has started games as well. He was up in Buffalo with Bobby Johnson. So I think you got some quality depth in terms of guys that have been starters, could be stopgap starters, but then also provide quality depth, which is so important with the war of attrition that the NFL is, especially with the added weeks to the season, you know, playing into the second week of February if you reach the World Championship Super Bowl. So I think that is key. I think the key to the game, though, is going to be able to get the perfect mesh with finding your top five. I think two of them have already figured out. You'd like to think that Nick Gates hopefully can come back from that brutal injury that he sustained to kind of anchor that center of that line, and then you find your guards right there. So I feel confident that the Giants have definitely upgraded their situation. I feel confident that new coaching staff, specifically with Bobby Johnson and Spilano, will help to bring those guys along. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see.
All right, Duke, thank you very, very much for a few minutes. Always enjoy talking to you. Finally, first time in a long time, I think the Giants can be really optimistic about their offensive line.
Absolutely, man. I'm excited to see what they bring.
That's our show for today, Giants fans. Thank you, as always, for listening. Please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio wherever you listen to podcasts. Take care of each other out there. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.